first meeting of the Special Case Squad and Homicide Division, forced to work together to solve a serial killer case. Detective Chin brings me and Detective Yu up to speed, reluctantly.
The first victim was 3 weeks ago, Peng Nian, a night caregiver at the number one people's hospital. She was killed by a single blow to the back of the head with a hammer, east of Bun Bridge, shortly before 6 in the morning.
My mood is as foul as the smoggy air outside. We are supposed to act as informal consultants on the case with Chin in charge. Another ominous sign that I have fallen out of the party's grace, thanks to my anti-corruption investigations.
Second victim was the weatherman, right?
Ling Ku. He left work at 5:30 a.m. 10 minutes later, his body was found near the People's Square. The same deal. A single blow, and the murderer disappearing into thin air.
Thick air? With the morning smog the way it is, I'm guessing that's why no one saw anything.
It's not that smoggy every morning, Detective Yu.
Is there anything that connects the victims?
Nothing except the timing, central location and cause of death.
I'm on some kind of internal blacklist. Still a chief inspector in name, but made subordinate to Detective Chin. The only reason they've brought me in is because the National People's Congress is imminent, and these bodies are mounting up. With all eyes on Shanghai, the last thing they need is a serial killer on the loose.
The third victim was a woman called Yan, an estate agent. She was out jogging in the early morning near Lu Jiazui when she was killed by a single blow.
She must have known she was taking her life in her hands, jogging in the morning air.
The air in Pudong is slightly better.
Someone must have seen something. A young, athletic woman. She must have put up a fight.
I'm glad you've been listening, Chief Inspector Chen. I thought you must be concocting a poem back there.
Right in the heart of the city, and no one saw or heard anything? Nothing was caught on camera?
All we can conclude is that the killer must be a strong man, savvy, caught her by surprise.
You're being funny, Detective Chen. For 3 murders in 3 weeks, and that's all we've got to go on.
It's 4 murders, actually. Another body has been found. A journalist with political connections. That's why homicide needs your help.
Hold Your Breath, China, by Qiu Xiaolong, dramatized by Joy Wilkinson.
Why are we doing this here and not at the scene?
Internal security has taken over the case.
So what are you doing? What do you need the special case squad?
The fourth victim, this journalist.
Don't we even have her name?
Not yet, but she's said to have some sensitive information in her possession. Party Secretary Li needs us all to work together.
You mean you're reporting to them? And we're reporting to you. And all we've got to go on is whatever details trickle down.
We must do our best, Detective. It'll be a political disaster if this case isn't solved.
Sorry, I've got to take this.
Don't let us keep you, Chief Inspector.
She might think she's my boss, but this call is from Comrade Secretary Zhao.
Yes.
Semi-retired, but still a high-up in Beijing, with influence way beyond Chin, Internal Security, and Party Secretary Li. He wants me to visit him at the Hyatt Hotel in Pudong for a chit-chat.
Sorry.
Immediately. Detective Chin is not impressed.
A chit-chat? Far more pressing than a serial killer case.
Detective Yu will fill me in on all the details later, if you're able to get any details from internal security.
Catch you later, Chief Inspector. Good luck.
In the past, Zhao had been something of a patron. Now I don't know if he is on my side or out to get me. Whatever this chit-chat is about, I shall have to choose every word with caution. He looks out of the window at what should have been a breathtaking view of the colourful vessels on the Huangpu River. But all that is visible are the high-rises poking through a shroud of smog.
Shanghai has changed a lot in our unprecedented economic reform. East of the river, it used to be nothing but farmland. Now it's the financial centre of Asia, soon the world. Can you guess why I've come here?
The newspapers said it was an old comrade's research trip.
Between us, I have had enough of Beijing. I have to wear a mask just to go outside. So I thought I'd come here for a week or so, get some fresh air.
Oh. That's a good idea, Comrade Secretary Zhao. Lots of people are talking about fresh air vacations to give their lungs a break.
although there are perhaps better spots than Shanghai for that.
The air quality here in Shanghai is not good. That's why I've had this fresh air system installed. But the situation must not be politicized. It is the result of complicated historical factors, in spite of the party's anti-pollution efforts. It seems to me that it's an issue we must address at a different level.
I expected an impossible task, but is he asking me to solve the smog? This already feels murky.
A group of activists are secretly gathering in Shanghai. I want to know what they're doing. This is a job for you, Comrade Chief Inspector Chen.
I am no environmental expert.
The leader of the group is a woman called Yuan Jing, just back from a trip to the States.
I'm right in the middle of an urgent serial murder case. Party Secretary Li will not let me get away.
Remember what the poem says on the Guanchue Tower? You have to climb even higher to see further, thousands of miles away to the horizon. I will talk to Li. He understands. You have other urgent cases to address.
It really is out of my element.
Take a look at the background material. Yuan Jing used to be based in Wuxi, but she now has an office here in Shanghai. She's a well-connected internet activist and famed for her posts on environmental matters.
From Wuxi?
For this new project, she has several big buck associates here. You know the city and its people, and you know Wuxi.
A photo falls out of the case file. Shanshan, the woman I knew in Wuxi when I was working on a case for Zhao. He never knew about her, or so I thought. I pick up the photo, hope he doesn't see my hand tremble.
Yuan Jing is her online name. Her real name is Shanshan.
Shanshan is a famous activist? Did my subconscious cut her out? Out of sight? Out of mind? I put the photo in the file next to a copy of Shanghai Literature magazine, the one that features my poem Don't Cry, Tai Lake, inspired by Shanshan.
I like your poem a lot about the pollution in Wuxi.
Thank you so much, Comrade Secretary Zhao.
In the face of insurmountable problems, the characters in the poem do not give up. It was written during your vacation, wasn't it? Where you found your muse for the poem, I suppose.
What is he driving at? Am I in trouble for fraternizing with this activist? Is this case a trap for me, or for Shanshan, or for both of us?
The poem shows you have been following the issues in your own way, and that is why you will do this job. It doesn't require an environmental expert. It needs a sensitive investigator who I can trust.
What exactly do you need me to investigate?
What this group is doing, who is involved, who finances their work, what progress they've made. I've told comrades here that you'll be my tourist guide, so no one will ask any questions.
Thank you for your trust in me and for your thoughtful arrangement. I will do my best and report back. I have to be stealthy. Employ the first of the 36 stratagems of war. To sail across the sea undetected by the eyes in the skies. I buy a new white phone and SIM card. I can use it for my investigation into the activists and keep my black phone for my regular work. There's a missed call on that one from you. I call him back. He updates me on the fourth victim.
Still no name. All we know is that she had the same head wound. A single blow from a hammer. I don't think Ching could be bothered discussing anything with me.
Well, she'll have to, because I'm officially off the case.
You can't be. Party Secretary Li won't allow it.
He will bow to Zhao's command. I'm on a secret case, so secret that all anyone can know is that I'm acting as Zhao's tourist guide.
Detective Chin will flip.
She's lucky to be working with you. You've proved yourself more than capable, many times.
Not that it matters when internal security and homicide are calling the shots anyway.
It matters, you, to the victims. Work the case for them and call me whenever you need to. I'll do everything I can to help, unofficially.
Thank you. Can I be any help with your secret case?
Unfortunately not. You should steer well clear of it, for your own safety.
Right, take care, Chief. I'll keep you posted.
I used the white phone to call Chiang, the editor at Shanghai Literary Magazine, who has championed my work from the start. I ask him if anyone in Beijing requested the magazine with Don't Cry Tai Lake in it.
I can't remember names, but a couple of high-level offices contacted me. They said it was a great honor that senior cadres wanted to read your poem.
Can you remember anything else?
Someone asked whether the poem was based on your personal experience. I said it's impossible to know how much is a writer's imagination or not.
Well said, Chiang. T.S. Eliot's impersonal theory.
My assistant may have the caller's details. I can find out. In fact, why don't you come by? I'm retiring next week, and it would be nice to see you before I go.
I make arrangements and hang up, wondering, if Zhao's office made one of the inquiries, who was the other? I doubt it had anything to do with their appreciation of literature. But I know someone who does appreciate my work, Detective Huang from Wuxi, who loves my mystery stories and insists on calling me...
Master Chen! Are you working on another confidential case?
Yes, and I need your help, Huang. I need to know what's happened to Shanshan since I left Wuxi.
When I last checked on her activities, Shanshan had married a local businessman called Yao.
It shouldn't floor me. Shanshan is an attractive, intelligent young woman. Why wouldn't she get married?
Are you okay? Sorry, I thought about calling you at the time, but I was busy with the case and I wasn't sure
you did the right thing, Huang. But what happened to the love of her life?
The reason we couldn't be together. Why she couldn't commit and I had to walk away. Because there was this other activist, her soulmate.
Jiang got sentenced to 10 years. I guess she decided to move on. And she never had a clue what you'd done for her. You were so magnanimous saving her neck. She was a troublemaker. Not politically suitable for a big star like you.
But perfectly suitable to marry a big buck.
Yao runs a successful solar energy company.
I suppose that makes him slightly more palatable.
She started to work with him and became a celebrity for her online articles. Marrying Yao has given her more power and influence and money, of course.
That explains Zhao's interest. Shanshan will be considered more of a threat to the party now.
Are you still there, Master Chen?
I need you to find out as much as possible about Shanshan and call me. No one can know about this.
No problem, Master Chen. This is exciting.
I go home to read through Zhao's file. Reams of research into pollution in China and a document called The Ecological Disaster of the Petroleum Industry. Try to fill my head with facts and figures instead of the memories of Shanshan on a boat on Tai Lake. Her slender white feet dipping into the dark water. A text from Huang yanks me back to the case.
I think I've got something for you, Master Chen.
Something he can't say even on the white phone. It looks like I'm going to Wuxi tomorrow.
I booked a private room so we can talk freely.
A 5-star hotel by Tai Lake. Huang has chosen a beautiful setting to share his news.
I found out why Shanshan really split up with Jiang. There was an article in the paper that listed all Jiang's crimes and mentioned that he was married. Shanshan thought he'd got divorced years ago, but turns out this great love was an extramarital affair. I guess if she'd known that when you were last here, she might have made a different decision. Everything okay, Master Chen?
Was that all?
There's also these. Photos of Shanshan and her husband Yao on a trip to the States.
Sunbathing on a beach, nestling together. She wears a white bikini. In some shots, she is topless, lying on her stomach as Yao rubs oil into her bare back, her legs.
I got them from Bei, a cop who runs online investigations. He knows I'd been keeping tabs on Shanshan, and apparently so has he, or someone else he knows.
She shared these online. I don't believe that.
It could have been paparazzi, or surveillance. These haven't been shared yet, but Bay implied it might only be a matter of time.
That would be a scandal. Glamorous pictures of an internet celebrity, barely dressed, with her billionaire husband. Her serious articles would be derailed with salacious comments. I need to know how Bay got hold of these.
I can try to put you in touch. He's often in Shanghai.
Don't give him any reason to be suspicious. This is all...
top secret. I know, Master Chen. You can take all these in case you need to study the details.
Thank you, Huang. I'd better get back.
Is there any more info on the fourth victim yet, Detective Chin?
I can tell you she was called Xiang, and that she was leaving her office after a night shift on the news desk, eating an earthen oven cake for breakfast when she was attacked. I can also tell you she was a pretty girl who had a liaison with a senior city official. Internal security believes that's the key to this crime.
But how can it be, when the first three victims have no connection to each other, or to this Xiang?
Well, the other victims could have been a smokescreen, to make Xiang's killing appear random.
Or it really was random, and this is a smokescreen for internal security to go after this city official.
I hadn't thought of that, but either way, if we catch the killer, homicide gets credit. If we don't, your squad gets blamed. So, I can live with that.
Wouldn't you rather we catch the right guy? I've been thinking. I did a case before with Chief Inspector Chen, the Red Mandarin-dressed serial killer.
I had no interest in the triumphs of Chen.
There's no link between the victims. But there's got to be some reasoning, even if it only makes sense to the killer's twisted mind. What if the killer left some kind of signature, like the Red Mandarin dress? And if we identify it, we can start to build a profile.
There are no signatures. All we can say is he's relatively young, capable of moving quickly, striking forcibly, and evading all surveillance.
I'm going to study the footage and the crime scene photos again. We must have missed something.
You can do as you please. Just like your chief inspector. I have a meeting with internal security.
I arrive back in Shanghai and go straight to the offices of the literary magazine where Chiang is delighted to see me, but I am a disappointment. I'm distracted by the images of Shanshan and the threat of who may be out to get her and me.
No need to look so glum, Chen. I have all the details you requested. The first magazine was sent to the Party Central Discipline Committee. Comrade Zhao?
Ah, yes, I'm aware of that one. What about the other?
Well, that went to the China Petroleum Building in Beijing. Possibly something to do with the Ministry of Petroleum Industry.
Why would they be interested in my poem?
I'm sorry, I can't be any more help than that. But it's good to see you. Shall we go out for some tea?
I'd love to, Chiang, but it's really bad timing. Can I call you when this case is done?
Of course, I'll have more time when I'm retired. Though you will be as busy as ever, no doubt.
I apologize and head off, looking over my shoulder in case someone is tailing me from the petroleum industry or internal security. The last thing I need is to get caught with these photos. But I can't go home yet. I need to call my big buck contact, Mr. Gu, to see if he has heard about Shanshan's activities. It turns out Gu's family is planning to emigrate due to the pollution, so he is aware of the issue and the activists. He gives me a number for his friend, Bien, a manufacturer of air purifiers. I arrange to meet Bien for afternoon tea at the glamorous bar to find out more.
Cigarette?
I thought you were in the pure air business, Bien.
Cigarette smoke is purer than the air in this city.
That's a fair point, though I have been thinking of quitting. Am I right in thinking you are associated with Yuan Jing, or Shanshan, as I used to call her in Wuxi?
Shanshan? So you must know her well.
Since before she became a celebrity. I have her best interests at heart, so I'm hoping you can tell me about the project you are working on with her.
I've heard a lot about you from Gu, how trustworthy you are. Still, I would like to hear why you're so interested in our project.
Here, I wrote this poem. It might help explain.
Don't cry, Tai Lake.
As he reads, I drink coffee, smoke, and look out at the financial center of Asia, a surreal forest of high-rises in a smoggy mirage. It starts to drizzle.
A great poem, Chief Inspector Chen. Feels like you must have composed it in the company of Shanshan.
I nod, but don't mention that it was while she lay in my bed. I wait for him to tell me what he knows.
China has more lung cancer diagnoses and fatalities than any country in the world. My air purifiers sell like hotcakes, but even so, my son's school wanted to install one and the authorities vetoed the idea, saying it would harm the image of the city. Then there was this recent business with the government denying the pollution level, even though it was recorded by the American Air Quality Monitor. I wanted to do more than cash in on people's miseries, and I heard about Shanshan. Makes me feel better to make a contribution to help fund her documentary.
What documentary?
A feature-length movie about air pollution in China.
How would that get past the censors?
Well, it wouldn't, in a cinema. But on the internet, as long as there's no overt anti-government content, it might not be blocked.
A privately funded documentary? How was it possible that Zhao and internal security had not heard about it? The secrecy was impressive.
There are associates who will make sure it appears on lots of major websites. It'll be shared so fast that the government will struggle to suppress it.
Like the old Chinese saying, the law may not be able to punish too many people.
None of us wants trouble. We have to do business in the system, but we have to do something.
I'd like to find out more. Is there a way to watch it?
There's a presentation for investors tomorrow at the Oriental Club. I can't go, but you could be my representative if you keep a low profile. We have to be careful, even though we're doing nothing wrong.
I give you my word. No harm will come to the documentary or to Shanshan. Finally, I get back to my flat and take out the photos. It brings me no pleasure to see her with another man, but I cannot blame her for her decisions. She didn't know about Jiang's marriage when she chose him over me. And of course, she married a big buck activist instead. Did I really give her up out of magnanimity, as Huang put it? Or was that just a pathetic pose dictated by a wounded ego? I read the ending of the poem. Who is the one walking beside you? By the water, an apple tree, blossoming again, flashing smiles among the waking boughs. Petals transparent in the dazzling light. She walks in a red trench coat, carries a report in her hand, like a bright sail cutting through the contaminated currents to the silent, splendid sun. Now I realize it's somebody else. Not me who is walking beside her. All I can do is carry out my investigation as a cop, not a poet, with the utmost detachment imaginable.
Have you been here all night, Detective Yu?
The one thing that figures in all four victims' photos is a mask. Victim two wears a mask. Two others have their masks close by on the ground. The last one's mask is at quite a distance from her body.
Well, I don't see a mask here.
I didn't even notice it at first. Only from one angle, at an enhanced resolution. Look.
So what? Lots of people wear masks in the smog.
There's a similarity between the masks for the first and the third victim. Both are a strange yellowish colour.
Discoloration from overuse? Wear and tear?
I rang my wife. She said they go grey, not yellow.
Oh, well, I bow to your wife's greater knowledge of laundry.
The second victim's mask is white. The fourth is partially covered by the cake she was eating. Only its straps are visible. But the straps are yellowish too. That's too much of a coincidence. Three out of four.
Or two out of four, because all I can see is cake.
What if the three yellow masks were never worn by the victims? Think about it. If you went jogging in the smog, would you really bother to wear a mask?
I've seen people doing Tai Chi in masks.
Jogging is a different story. You'd be breathing hard, suffocating. Not to mention the fourth victim would have taken a mask off to eat a cake.
I didn't come here to talk about masks and cakes.
But they were planted at the scene by the killer. It's his signature. He's telling us why he's doing this.
And why is that?
I don't know. But I'll find out.
What I came to tell you was that I heard something your friend Chen might be interested in, if he's not too busy sightseeing.
Hello?
Sorry to wait you, Chief, but I thought you'd want to know. Your friend Chang has gone missing.
I only saw him yesterday at the literary magazine.
Yeah, that's the thing. After you left, he went out to drink tea and never came back. His secretary got worried and called it in. Detective Chin told me.
Chin? How does she know? It's not a homicide case, is it?
She's been working with internal security, so she could have heard something there. They sometimes use that phrase when they disappear people, going out to drink tea.
But why Chiang? He's had an impeccable career.
Could it be to do with what you were talking about?
No. We just talked about a poem.
Good. Well, hopefully it'll turn up soon. Can I pick your brains a minute, Chief, about the murder case?
You fills me in on his thinking about the signature yellow masks. It's a welcome distraction.
I've checked online, made so many calls, but no one can tell me about these masks. There are pink ones, some kids embroider or customise them, but nothing yellowed like this. It's not an attractive look.
Peng, the first victim. Wasn't she attacked on her way home from hospital?
That's right. Why?
It could be pre-treated somehow, to make it antibacterial. Have you checked with the People's Hospital?
I'll get right onto it. Thank you.
The serial killer case seems clearer than this smog I'm surrounded by. Someone could be following me, and I'm making it worse with every move I make on this case, putting innocent people like Chiang at risk. But how can I stop? I have to trust that Zhao has my back. I have to go and see Shanshan today. I take a convoluted route to the Oriental Club to shake off anyone who could be tailing me. I'm dressed to look like an emissary of the elite, the representative of Mr. Bien and the Air Product Group. The doorman admits me to a lecture theatre. It's in semi-darkness, 30 or so people in the audience. They're all cautious, waiting for her. I slide in at the back. Shanshan walks straight to the lectern. She's wearing a trench coat with a satchel slung over her shoulder. She's the same, but different. A well-known activist with millions of followers, not a girl dangling her feet in Tai Lake.
Welcome to this preview screening of our film. It's not the final version, there's still room for changes, but I hope you approve.
The screen illuminates her oval face, a radiance from within. She withdraws into the darkness to watch with us. Interviews, charts, poor people suffering in a lung cancer village. Environmental scientists giving one perspective, local officials giving another. In the middle of it all is Shanshan, comforting a little Shanxi girl, sobbing that she had never seen a real star nor a blue sky for 6 months. Shanshan makes an example of state-owned mega-companies ruthlessly trampling over regulations and collaborating with government officials. Her passion beams from the screen, holding the room, holding me, rapt until the lights go up. My mind runs on, wondering how this could link with any investigations into me and my poem, and suddenly Shanshan is looking at me. Is she? Am I imagining it?
A friend once talked to me, by the beautiful but polluted Tai Lake, about the ideological crisis for Chinese society. After the Cultural Revolution and the corruption scandals in the party, there seems to be nothing left for people to believe in, except the material goods they can grasp in their hands, for which they will do anything at any expense, even the environmental expense. This is not only about the contamination of the water, air, food. It's the contamination of the mind. This friend also told me of his adherence to a Confucian principle. There are things a man can do and things a man cannot do. It means we have no choice but to do things at risk to ourselves. This inspired me throughout the making of this film. And after it has gone out, people may no longer be silent. They will try to do something about the pollution, whatever way they can. Then, hopefully, a difference will be made. One last thing. a note of caution to balance the hope. My husband's computer has been hacked, for no apparent reason than to warn us that we are being watched. So please, be careful. And thank you for your support.
I wait outside, around the corner. I light a cigarette, take one drag and put it out. Those images of the lung cancer village are seared into my mind. I watch Shanshan leave in a black Mercedes. It's like deja vu, letting her go again as I stand back and hide. There is no stepping twice in the same river. The present, when you are thinking of it, is already slipping into the past.
Detective Yu, go on while I find a quiet place.
You were right. The yellow masks are supplied to the hospital staff, inpatients and the visiting family members. With the air pollution, even healthy people are getting sick, and the hospital was concerned about cross-infection. So that's why Pung was wearing a yellow mask. But what about the others? Well, the mask must have been planted.
I can't think like this, looking over my shoulder. Can you meet me at Le Maison? It's the French cafe by the People's
Square. I'm on my way.
Don't look well, Chief. Want a smoke?
No, thanks. I'm fine. Just had too much coffee and not enough sleep.
Tell me about it. If we don't catch this guy, he'll strike again. It's always been around a week.
A death every 7 days.
Not quite. Sometimes it's 6 or 8 days.
Still, that feels like a ritual that the mask may be part of. There's a ritualistic offering some Chinese people make after the death of a family member.
7-7 ritual? My family's never done that.
Yeah, my mother has. According to Buddhist tradition, the soul of the deceased is unwilling to leave the human world. 7 days after their loss, family members gather for a special meal with netherworld money to burn. This ritual is repeated 7 days after, and 7 days after that until the end of the 7th week, when the soul is able to leave in contentment.
There were 7 days between the first and second victims, but 8 days until the third and 6 days.
Committing murder isn't as easy as cooking a meal. We have to consider the difficulty of killing exactly on the 7th day in those locations at that time. Maybe something prevented him the 3rd time, so he was playing catch-up and he had to get back on track.
If this is a sociopath killing for the 7-7 ritual, we're due another death this Friday, and he'll take 3 more lives before the ritual's done.
But now we know how to narrow down his identity. This is a very special offering to the deceased. You need to find the relatives of those who died shortly before the killings began. A death that might seem unfair, which might warrant these offerings.
Hundreds of people die in this city every day.
Start with the hospital where the masks came from. You said they were given to relatives too? That would explain how he has them, because his loved one was in hospital and died there, unjustly somehow.
Right. And we know he must be young or middle-aged, so that narrows it down more.
A man who lost a loved one in some kind of tragedy, and it's pushed him over the edge.
I have to get back to the hospital. Did you want to talk about your case?
No. You go on.
Try to lay off the coffee and get some sleep. You really don't look well.
It's not the coffee. It's the case. I keep thinking of Chiang drinking one cup of tea after another with internal security or some petroleum gang heavy. I keep thinking of Shanshan. Am I putting her under threat? Or is she putting me under threat? Will we be the death of each other? Huang texts me about Bei, the internet cop who knew about Shanshan. Huang has convinced him to trust me and we're to meet in secret tomorrow. I text a vague update to Zhao. Snuck into a meeting with Yuan Qing and associates. She's someone I knew in Wuxi, long out of touch. She didn't recognize me. They discussed air pollution. More tomorrow. No doubt, Zhao already knew my poem was about Shanshan, so I'm proving that I'm not holding anything back. But I am. From Zhao and from myself. I miss Shanshan.
some sleep, Chief?
Not really.
Me neither. 7 days before Pung's death, a female patient called Shun died at the People's Hospital. She was only in her 30s, but had fourth-stage lung cancer. Her husband, Lo, came to sit by her bed every night for the first month until he collapsed with exhaustion. Even then, he still came every morning before work and stayed at least 2 or 3 nights a week until she died.
That's our man. Are you going to tell Detective Chin?
We can't risk her holding us up. The most important thing is stopping this Lo before he kills again. That only gives us 24 hours. I'm off to grill his neighbours at Jabay Park.
Let me know what you find out.
How can I help you, officer?
I came by this morning and saw this man heading out for a run. It's not a great photo, but can you identify him?
That's Lo. He's taken up jogging since his wife died. I suppose he can't sleep, so he gets up early. It's no lonelier out there in the smog than it is at home.
How long has Lo lived here?
They moved in less than a year ago. Newlyweds. They passed wedding candles around the building to celebrate. But not long after, she went into hospital.
Lo must have been devastated.
Heartbroken. Cries like a baby all night and hardly comes out all day. He'll lose his job if he's not careful, and he needs the money. He's gone all out on the ritual for her.
The 7-7 ritual? Tell me more.
Spends money like water for the meal, in her honour, but doesn't even invite anyone. Locks himself away to dine alone. Then all the food gets dumped.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
I went to his apartment to express my condolences, but he hardly spoke. Had this vacant look in his eyes like a walking corpse. Without her, he's finished.
I go to meet Detective Bay in a private room at Small River, a restaurant renowned for its speciality dish of live turtles. I can't stomach that today, although what Bay has in store may be worse. On the table is a pot of tea, 2 cups, and a laptop.
It wasn't me who found those images of your friend Shan Shan. I got them from a hacker called Rung, who'd been given a job to make a video about her. An incredibly lucrative job. They're so obscenely rich.
What kind of video?
You'll see.
He takes out a memory stick, puts it in the laptop.
He's still working on the content, but it'll be ready for the client in a couple of days. This is his work so far. You can watch it here while I make some calls.
I don't touch the tea. Already I feel like I could throw up. I press play. Fragmented scenes from surveillance cameras. Shan Shan in bed with a man. Explicit scenes. Captions that call her a shameless slut sleeping around with a married criminal. The man must be Jiang. This is meant to destroy her image as a courageous public intellectual. I freeze as I recognize myself. No one else would. The footage is too blurry. I see myself knocking on Shan Shan's door. She answers in her white robe, invites me in. The caption says, "The adulteress spends the night with another secret lover in her room." I press stop and think what this will do to her. What it would have done to me if my face was recognizable. Then I realize if there was a camera in that corridor, it could only have been from governmental instruction.
Seen enough?
One thing, Bay. Has Rong's client viewed this yet? No wonder he's desperate to stop the release of the film.
I don't think so. It's not been properly edited.
Rong must say he's not able to deliver it in time. Not for a couple of weeks. Claim the tape got wiped by accident, and he's had to start over editing.
His client won't like it. They might not pay up.
I can have him reimbursed through the Party Central Discipline Committee in Beijing. Tell him I'll make sure he won't go without.
I'll go and talk to him now, see if he agrees. He might not, but I'll try my best. You can keep the memory stick, but whoever the client is will have all the original footage. They could just hire someone else.
That is true, but it will buy us some time. I send Zhao a text telling him my report will be ready soon. And then I go home to write it, knowing a killer will be out on these streets at dawn tomorrow. But a much worse killer is out here all the time, all around in this deadly smog. It may be futile, but I have to do what I can to stop them both.
Don't panic, Chief. It's me.
Shouldn't you be home by now, Detective Yu?
I need to be up early to catch Lo, and I don't want to disturb Pei Chin. I was hoping you might have room on your sofa and give me a wake-up call.
You've had confirmation that Lo is the killer.
I saw him first thing this morning, heading out for a jog at the crack of dawn. I followed him to a subway. He took two trains to the New World area, jogged around there, and then got the train back.
Did he act like he was looking for his next victim?
No, this was him scoping it out. There's no way anyone takes two trains to go for a jog in the city centre where the pollution's at its worst. He'll do the same tomorrow and make his fifth kill.
Not if we have anything to do with it.
You'll come with me.
I just need to get this report written.
You sure you don't want to tell me what it's about?
No. I want at least one of us to get some sleep.
I choose my words carefully, using the stratagem of killing a man with another man's knife. My words are my knife, as I write. I have become concerned with some party cadre's attitude towards the environmental crisis. During the investigation, I also noticed something suspicious around Chiang's disappearance. It seems to have been the work of someone high up with real power, and perhaps with internal security at his control. Zhao will know what that means. Those who backed the petroleum group will be involved in power struggles at the top. I have to trust that Zhao will do the right thing. It is a gamble that might backfire, but I have to take it. I crush out my last ever cigarette. It's 4:30 a.m. I save the report on a draft email and...
Wake up, Detective Yu. It's time to go jogging.
We station ourselves behind a flowering apple tree outside Lo's apartment and wait for him. At 10 to 5, under a somber, smoggy sky.
There he is.
Wait for him to break into a jog.
He'll be heading to the station.
There he goes. I'll follow him. You go the back way.
Meet you there for the 5 a.m. train.
We make it, just. Lo doesn't see us. The train is busy and he is caught up in his mission, beyond the world of the living. We change to line 11.
We'll get out at the next stop, I bet.
The New World.
You ready to run some more?
I'm definitely giving up smoking.
Let's go.
Lo circles the area, looks around. We hang back as far as we can, hide in the smog, squint to see.
What point do we strike? When he pulls the hammer?
That'll be too late.
Well, that's what I mean. We need the best evidence, but we don't want another body on our hands.
The Bureau will be in big trouble if we arrest the wrong man in public. And it's 5 to 6. If he doesn't kill someone in the next 5 minutes, he'll have broken his ritual. Maybe we are wrong.
No, there's a woman in front. He's catching up with her. We've got to stop him.
Well, no, wait. She's going in the office. But did you see?
He put his hand in his pocket when he got close. He's got the hammer in there, I swear.
Oh, no. The old man on the bench. He's a sitting duck. Come on, quickly.
Wait! Put your hands
up!
Get
it off!
Get off me! What the hell? What the hell are you doing?
Arresting you. So I suggest you stop struggling and start cooperating.
You can't arrest me for jogging.
Jogging with a...
hammer? I used it for work. Forgot it was in there. That's not a crime, is it?
No, but killing 4 innocent people is. Why don't we talk about this properly? At a police station.
Okay, so we stopped the murder and got him in there. Now what? If we take him to Chin and she sees we've pulled the rug from under her and internal security, she'll freak. So will Party Secretary Lee.
Lee knows I've been doing a job for Zhao, but he doesn't know what it is. We could use that to our advantage. Tell him I made you investigate in secret. If he thinks Zhao is behind it, he won't kick up a fuss.
What if Lo does a deal with them? Walks free to save their face, and then starts killing his next three?
We need to make sure he won't. Let's talk to him. My name is Chen Cao, and this is Detective Yu.
Chen Cao? Like the poet?
He is the poet.
I'm a poet and a policeman. I wrote Don't Cry, Tai Lake, and I'm currently working on a case about a truly important documentary that tackles the pollution here in Shanghai. And there are some high-ups who want to destroy the film and ruin the activists who made it. But I'm not going to let that happen.
Your privilege, Lo. He hasn't even told me that until now.
It's top secret. But I think you can keep a secret, Lo. And I think you care about the pollution.
My wife liked your poem. That's all I have to say.
Detective Yu spotted your masks. We made the link with the hospital where your wife passed away. I'm sincerely sorry about that. So many people get sick from the contaminated air. You wanted your masks to be a symbolic protest in memory of your wife, but also as a wake-up call, even if it meant more people had to die to make your point.
Don't say any more. I do not wish to discuss it. My life is over without her, so let me rot. I don't care.
But you'll be rotting in vain, Lo, because no one will ever know. The government won't let the message of the Yellow Mask murderer get out there.
Things spread pretty fast these days, Chen Cao.
Not with you in custody. Internal security will take over and you'll never be heard of again. The only people who know and care are in this room. So you either have to work with us or it was all for nothing.
Why would you want to help me?
Because otherwise, those four people you killed died in vain.
Shun died in vain. We fell in love at first sight, but still, we had to wait and save and put our wedding off for years until we could afford our own place in Shanghai. Then just a month after moving in, she began to cough. We thought it was the new paint. I bought her herbs, antibiotics, but nothing helped. 4 months later, she died of lung cancer. She never even smoked. It was this city that killed her. This government obsessed with its GDP, their propaganda and lies about the clean air. That's why I targeted the weatherman and that caregiver who was horrible to Shen in hospital. The estate agent who kept us out of a less polluted area. But the journalist, I admit, had done us no wrong. I just knew she worked nights and I needed to get to seven. To make Shen's death mean something. And to send out a warning. To millions and millions of people, it's only a matter of time before they all fall prey to this lethal pollution.
Let me make you two promises. I will write the story of you and your wife against the background of the environmental disaster. Not with your real names, but your message will not get lost.
You won't do that. It could ruin your career.
You really would. I guarantee it.
My decision to protect the documentary is more likely to destroy me. But it was still the right decision.
Imagine what a comfort it would be to your wife in the Neverworld, knowing the message is out there.
What is your second promise?
I'll make a 7-7 service in memory of her in a Buddhist temple. I'll send you the pictures of the service so you know it's been done properly.
You'd do that? Really?
And my mother is a Buddhist. I know how much it means. I swear on her name that I will do this.
What do you want me to do for you, Chen Cao?
Write a statement. Tell the whole story so I have all the details for my story. Only change the way that you came into custody. Say you couldn't do it anymore and turned yourself in to Detective Yu. Make no mention of our investigation. If I am to help you and other activists, I can't be caught up in this. Telling you that, I know you may be tempted to make another deal, turning me in for your freedom.
No. Except for her memories, there is nothing for me to care about in this world. I will do as you ask, Chen Cao. And you will do as you promise.
I leave you to take the statement and hurry to the air purifier factory to see Bien. The Yellow Mask killer might be caught, but time is running out for Shan Shan.
Hey, Chen!
What did Shan Shan say to you the other day?
She didn't see me. That was not the aim. Listen, Bian, the documentary has to be released ahead of schedule. It's urgent for everyone involved, and especially for Shan Shan. You can't wait anymore.
They wanted to wait until after the National People's Congress in 2 or 3 weeks.
That's no longer relevant. It needs to go online now, or all your efforts will go to waste. Talk to Shan Shan. Tell her the message is from the poet who was inspired by her. Here. She'll understand.
I give him the literary magazine in an envelope with the Shanghai Police Bureau letterhead, so she'll know exactly who I am. Maybe she already did, and that's why she's never been in touch. But at least now she'll know I did something. Yu mails me a copy of Lo's statement, the confession we need to close the case and keep Chin and Li off our backs. He makes his point to those in power, though it will never reach them.
I was not unaware of lives being lost for my plan, but these are the unavoidable casualties of a battle that must be fought.
I will make sure it reaches them in other ways. I open up my draft mail to Comrade Zhao and add a PS, updating him on the bureau case I'd left behind and how it turned out. How it showed the extent of the environmental crisis, the beginning of things to come that will only get worse unless our party government does everything possible to solve the pollution, such as allowing the documentary. I click send and hold my breath.
Welcome back, Chief Inspector Chen. Turns out we solved the case and saved Shanghai, where you were busy seeing the sights.
Glad to hear it, Detective Chin.
I don't know if internal security will be as pleased, but that's their business. And yours. Oh, perhaps we won't have the chance to work together again.
What a shame.
We laugh it off, but she may be right. I hope not, and am heartened by a text from Comrade Zhao.
Congratulations on another marvellous job. I know I can count on you.
It's vague, but I know better than to push for clarification. I sense a touch of sincerity. He may not agree with everything in my report, but he is on our side, I think.
Did you ever find out if you were being followed? Or anything about what happened to Chang?
Nothing, but I'm sure I'll find out sooner or later. 2 days later, the documentary is released online. Hold Your Breath China gets over 30 million views within the first 48 hours. The Beijing government doesn't block it immediately. There is even some positive mention of it in official media. The documentary is blocked after 3 days, and all comments about it deleted. No more mention is made of it, but something has already happened. I go to the Buddhist temple for the 7-7 ceremony. It costs me 10,000 yuan, so it's a good job I can save money on cigarettes. Bien comes too, and Detective Yu takes photos to send to Lo. As the netherworld money is burnt, Bien gives me an envelope. I recognize the handwriting. While everyone else is watching the dancing fire, I slip outside and open the letter.
A cloud in the sky, inadvertent. I cast a shadow in the waves of your heart. Don't be so amazed, nor so dazed. Just for an instant it may last. We meet on the night-covered sea. You have your destination, and I mine. If you remember, that's fine. But better forget the shine enkindled between you and me. Dear Chen, because of the light produced in our meeting, however transitory, over the night-covered lake, can you forgive me for this upset and stay friends?
So Shan Shan had known about me all along.
Chief Inspector Chen.
Have you finished in there?
Yeah, but another case has started. I've just had a call from the Bureau. Your friend Chang's body was found this morning. Homicide is investigating.
We'd better get back to work.
In Hold Your Breath, China, by Qiu Shaolong, dramatized by Joy Wilkinson, Inspector Chen was played by Jamie Zubairi, Yu by Dan Lee, and Chin by Liz Sutherland Lim. Lo and Huang were played by Andrew Leung, Shan Shan by Rebecca Bowie, Zhao by David Hounslow, and Chiang by Sean Baker. Bien was played by Chris Pavlo, Bei by Kenny Blythe, and The Neighbor by Debbie Corley. The director was David Hunter.